What a blessing. Amen. Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians. Thank you, guys. And thank you for minding the Holy Ghost. That's exactly what all of us need and want if we know Him, is His perfect will in our life and Him to have complete control of us. And I noticed this morning that the biggest applause that was given was in regard to short sermons. And I'll be honest with you, I love short sermons. Matter of fact, I love them so good, most every Sunday I preach three of them. Amen. 1 Thessalonians. Are you thankful? Enlisting all the wickedness of unregenerated and unsaved people, all their unnatural affections and all their idolatries and lust and adulteries and murder. He says, and neither were they thankful. He seems like he would put unthankfulness right on the same level with some of the most horrible, hideous sins we could ever imagine. And that's an awful thing because he's writing about lost people. And he thought it was a great offense and wickedness that they were not thankful for their daily bread or the breath they had or the sunshine. And yet you think about those of us who are saved and we go day after day, week after week, without thanking Him. We have in these few days of this month already pointed out to us that we ought to be thankful first of all and foremost for His unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we ought to be thankful for God Himself, the Father, who loved us. And then last week I felt the Lord led me to share with you what Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul was very thankful for people. Brother Roy Rigdon and I were talking this past week about the subject of faith. And he told me something. I'm going to look it up and make sure it's so. So if it's not so, Brother Gary Mayberry can help me. But Brother Roy said that in the Old Testament, the word faith is not mentioned but twice in all the whole Old Testament. And yet, Hebrews 11 is full of Old Testament people. But I got to looking as I've researched the word thanksgiving and thankful, it's all through the Old Testament and all through the New Testament. We believe God, we trust Him. But those who do believe and trust Him are always thankful. And you and I ought to be thankful. This morning I'll share this with you. Notice, if you will, please, in one verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'll read it again. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you and praise you this morning for the wonderful singing congregation, and Lord, for Ms. Juanita playing this morning, and Lord, for the Brother Bobby and for the group that just sang, and God, for the wonderful songs. Thank you, our Father, for the truth, the messages in the songs they sang and the anointing of God that was on them. Now, God, help me, speak to me in the strong name of Jesus. I plead the blood over this place. And God, I rebuke every devil and every demon in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord. And I pray, God, this morning you'd help me. God, my heart is overflowing. We're thinking about the fact that you love me and you gave your Son to die for me. And God, for all the wonderful friends that you've given me through the years, and Lord, the folk that God, you let me pastor. And God, I'm thankful for the grace of God. And had it not been for you, oh God, where would we be today? But God, I'm thankful. Now help me to be a blessing to your people. God, those in the building, those in the media audience, and God, if there's a lost person, I pray, God, they'd be spoken to by the Holy Ghost of God and drawn by your grace and saved for Jesus' sake. Amen. Some verses in the Bible are wonderful verses to read and very difficult to live. Here's one of those verses. In everything, give thanks, he said, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I've looked at that where some of our English teachers in here can help me to diagram that sentence, but I've looked at it in two different ways. He said this, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The giving of thanks is the will of God, but the first part of that is also true, everything. Now, I understand and you understand that there are things that are not the will of God. There's Adultery is not never the will of God, and sin of any kind is not ever the will of God. But he said, in everything, you and I are to give thanks. We're to give thanks unto the Lord. We're living in a time, these past year especially, it's a time of just questions, so many questions, perplexities and sorrow and sadness and sickness and tragedy. I've mentioned to you a preacher friend that I've never met him personally. We've communicated, and he's supposed to be with us in revival this December. I'm not sure he's going to get to come. He's now been in the hospital excess of 50 days with COVID, AFib, and then he had to have heart surgery, only 58 years old. And he's got now about a three-month recovery from repairing two valves and some other things that they had to do. And I don't understand everything. Brother Avery Rogers, who was my mentor, a great preacher from Texas, I've told you about so many times, he had met many years ago a young preacher by the name of Curtis McCarley. He said that man had God all over him. He had a wonderful church up here in the mountains of North Carolina and had two precious daughters. And Brother Avery had been to his church and preached with him across the country. And he said that man would start preaching, and all of a sudden the power of God had come on him and on that whole congregation. And he said things that he had prepared in his message outline sometime would just go completely away, and God would give him a fresh word all the way through. And he said, wait, I can't hardly wait to tell you this. And he said, God just moved. And yet they were up doing some work at the church and spreading some gravel, and the preacher was helping them. They had a big dump truck. It dropped gravel, and some of it kind of stuck up in the top when the dump body went down. And he said Curtis took a rake, was going to try to reach up in there, and when he did, somehow the tailgate swung down and hit him and killed him right in the churchyard. And Brother Avery Rogers, who believed in the power and the presence of God and the sovereignty of God, if you ever get talking about things that happened that were questioning, puzzling, he said, I don't understand that. He said, I'll have to wait to get to heaven to figure that one out. And there's so many things that happen in us that we don't understand, the sorrows of this life, the sufferings. And, I wrote this little thought down that I wrote. I don't know if I've ever heard it or if it just came to me. But you know what? It's hard for you to keep your chin up when you're face down on the ground. I mean, when you've been knocked down so many times and had so many problems, it's hard to keep your chin up. But yet the Bible principle is this, and Paul learned it and others learned it, that in everything give thanks unto the Lord. You and I ought to be eternally grateful and always praising God. Now, how can I do that? Why can I do that? Why can I praise the Lord at all times? Number one, I can praise Him because I know He's sovereign. What's that mean? It means God's in control of everything. He's over this whole world. He fashioned this world. He created this world. And He made everything like for His own pleasure, the Bible said. We even created for His own pleasure. He orchestrates everything. He raises up kings and puts down kings. And He controls all the nations. And God's in control. I don't care what they do. They can rant and rave and everything. But when it's all said and done, it'll be all done. He's going to take care of every bit of it. He's sovereign. You say, Brother Billy, how do you know that? Well, I learned that through the principles of the Bible. I'm thinking now about Joseph in the Old Testament. And if you look at your Bible, chapters 37 through chapters 50 of the book of Genesis deal primarily with the life of Joseph. Jacob, who became Israel, had 12 sons, thus the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph was one of those children. And Joseph, when he was 17 years old, he'd gone out. He was the youngest. He'd been born of Rachel at that particular time. He was the youngest. But he went out, and his brothers were off somewhere doing something. And they ought not have been doing something wrong. And he told daddy on them. And the Bible says that he was his daddy's favorite because he was the child of his old age and born of Rachel, who he loved so much. And he'd given him a coat of many colors. And they hated their brother. They hated him. Now, here's God's sovereign work in his life. And they took him a few days later, and they were out somewhere taking care of the sheep, and daddy sent Joseph to check on them, see what was going on. And when he got there, they conspired. When they saw him coming, they said, let's take him and kill him. Let's just kill him. And Reuben, one of those brothers, said, no, let's don't kill him. But they got him. And they really wanted to kill him, but Reuben talked him out of it. And they put him in a pit like an old well. It was a dry well, but they dropped him down in that pit. And while they were sitting there thinking about what they might do, there's a group of Ishmaelites that came by, and one of them said, let's sell him. Let's sell our brother into slavery. Now look, I'm talking about God's sovereign will. Here's a boy who walked with God, loved God, and now he's in the bottom of a pit. His brothers hate him, and they pull him up out of the pit, and they sell him for 20 pieces of silver. He's taken as a slave down into Egypt. He is given to a man or sold to a man named Potiphar. And there in Potiphar becomes his servant in the house. Well, he was so successful, and God was on him. The Bible said God was on him, and the master of the house, Potiphar, realized that gradually he promoted him up to be over all of his affairs in the family. And so Potiphar was off somewhere one day, and his wife had been watching Joseph, and she tried to seduce him. And the Bible said she did that day after day after day. And God's in all of this. God's got a plan. And she said, lie with me. And he said, I'm not going to sin against God, is what he said. Not going to sin against Potiphar, but he said, I'm not going to sin against God. And he was there a few days later. And when he came in, she grabbed him by his clothing. And he pulled away from her and fled. And when he was gone, she began to scream. And all the servants came in. And she said, that Jew that you brought in here, he's tried to molest me. And so Potiphar had him put in prison. This is God's man. And he's put in prison. There's a lot of ways I could figure out how to make this thing work, but being put in prison is not one of them. But he's in prison. And he's there for several days. And then there was a butler and a baker that they had done something to offend the king and Pharaoh, and he put them in there. And they had a dream. They both had dreams. And they came to Joseph. They realized he was a man of God because the prisoners had, or the guards had already elevated him to kind of be trustee status, I guess you'd say. And here's this butler and the baker there, and they have a dream. They don't understand it. So they ask him, and he prayed, and God gave him the revelation. And he said, I'm going to tell you now, but here's the condition. He said, when you get out, one of them, of course, was going to be killed. One of them would live. And he said, when you're pardoned and you get to live, tell the Pharaoh about me and what I've done. And so he interprets their dream, and sure enough, the next day or two, they come and take them out. One of them is executed, hanged, and the other one is set free and put back in his regular position back. God's orchestrating all this. God's working it all together. But where's Joseph? He's still in prison. He's still in prison. And so then whenever 2 years passed by, Pharaoh has a dream, and nobody can interpret it. And the butler said, I remember. And he said, there's a man in prison. His name is Joseph. He can interpret your dream. And so he did, and it was a prophecy of 7 years of prosperity and 7 years of famine. And so Joseph told that dream to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh raised him up to be over all of Egypt. Now here, he's been in this prison for I don't know when. He's been trying to be seduced by his master. His brothers have sold him and all of those things. God's working all this out. And so what he does, he takes over all of the affairs of Egypt. They store in store all the great years, 7 years of prosperity, and Joseph's putting it back. And then came the famine. And it was so severe that all the countries all the way around Egypt were in famine. Now listen, who sent the famine? God sent the famine. Who sent the blessings? God sent the blessing. But Joseph is right in the middle of God's plan. And here he is living in the land of Egypt. And he's second in command only to Pharaoh. And he's there. Well, back home, his brothers who betrayed him and his daddy are in dire straits. They're dying of hunger. People are dying of hunger all over Israel. And so the daddy said, I hear that there's food down in Egypt. And he sent the boys down. And when Joseph saw his brothers, they didn't know him. It's been a long time. He's been a long time there. About 17 years he'd been down there. And they didn't know him. But God had a plan. And it's a long series of events. I won't go into all of it. But the way it finally ends up is he has them to come back with their daddy. First, he keeps one of them, and God does a lot of different things there to orchestrate it, but I got to get to the end of the story. And so what happens is They all end up going down. They find out that Joseph is who he is, and that he has them to come. He's got a younger brother named Benjamin, and his daddy, who had said one point in time that I'm going to cry till I die. I won't ever get over Joseph's death. And he finds out he's not only alive, but he's Lord in Egypt. And so he goes down to get the food, and there they are. And they live in the land of Goshen for several years and are blessed. But then the old man dies, and the brothers say, now that our dad is dead, he's going to kill us. I want to read to you what Joseph said. Think about this now. He's been sold into slavery by his brothers. I'm sure he was mistreated during all that time. He spent time in that pit. He spent time in prison and all the other things that happened to him. But God was in every bit of that because he's a sovereign God. And when you go back to the book of Genesis just to read the account of that and what takes place and his statement about it, it's such a blessing. He says this. The classic verse is in chapter 50, verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. He said, you meant it for evil. You sold me into slavery. You hated me. And I was in prison and all those things. But he said, all of that God was in, and he did it for good. And notice, let me go back and read to you what he said in chapter number 45, he's talking to his brothers. They've sold him into slavery, and he's now down in Egypt. He said, Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Joseph was thankful, and he learned to be thankful because he knew that the underlying thing is this: God's in control. And you need to understand that what's going on in America today, it looks like everything's out of hand, but I want you to know God's still sovereign. God's still in control. And I need to thank him every day because while I cannot see his plan, he's got a plan. I'm sure it was no vacation to be in jail for all those 3 or 4 years he was actually in jail. And then for the butler not to want to, you know, tell the Pharaoh about it for 2 full years, I'm not sure what he went through. But I do know this, in his heart, he knew God's in control. When you're laying on a sick bed somewhere, you know God's in control. When the doctor says you have cancer, he's still in control. When things happen in your family, among your children, you don't understand, God's still in control. They meant it for evil, but God had a plan. And I want you to know that he's a sovereign God. And while I can not see the end of this thing, I can't understand why what's happened to me is happening right now, what's happening to you and all those things. We know this one thing: God is in control. He's sovereign. And I want to thank him for it. Therefore, whatever happens in my life, while I don't appreciate it right then, I can still say, thank you, Lord. I don't understand this, but I know you do. Here's the second thing I want you to get this morning. Is this, I can praise him and be thankful to him in everything because of the scriptures. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. I know that I can praise God because everything works together for good. And Cabot mentioned Brother Tom Gillen a while ago, and Tom pointed out to us, and we all know it, that everything is not good that happens in my life and your life. But God works everything for good. God puts it all together just right for good. When you sing the hymns in the book, there's so many wonderful hymns in that we sing. Come Thou Fountain and all those other songs, so many wonderful things. But if you'll notice some of your favorite songs, you'll notice there was a lady by the name of Fanny Crosby that wrote many of those songs. She wrote, I forget how many thousands of songs and hymns to the Lord. When she was just an infant baby, she had some sort of problem with her eyes, some sort of infection or something. And a nurse, not knowing what she was doing, washed her eyes with a solution, and she was blinded for the rest of her life. It was an accident. And yet God used her through all those years to be a blessing, to sing and praise God and rejoice in the Lord. Somebody, you've heard of Cor ten Boom, who was taken captive by the Nazis and in prison and treated horribly. And her story has just been told around the world many times. when she was released, and she, of course, had known the Lord and lived for God the whole time for 35 years, she traveled around the world giving her testimony about the providence of God and God being in control. She never had a home of her own for 35 years. And then in the latter years of her life, a friend in California bought her a home and gave it to her. She was visited one day by a friend who was in the movie industry. He was a famous producer of movies. And he came in and looked around that beautiful home, and he said, "Cora, God has really blessed you to have a beautiful home." And she said this, "God blessed me when I was in the concentration camp as well." God blesses you every day of your life. And you and I need to learn to be thankful, because the Bible says all things work together. What's going on in your life right now, you don't understand. You can't understand the problems, the horror, sorrows, or whatever's going on. But I want you to know God's in control. And you ought to rejoice in the fact that the Scriptures teach us Paul and Silas were arrested. The great man of God, he's put in prison. And the Bible says in book of Acts chapter 16, verse 23, that they beat them before they put them into prison. And then they're there. And the Bible said, and at midnight, they sang and praised God. And the Bible says that God shook the jail, and the jailer came in, and the man came and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And here's Paul beaten, bleeding, down to the bottom of a dungeon, singing and praising God. He learned that secret that whatever's going on, all things work together for good. And before that night was over, he had the privilege of seeing that jailer. And it goes on and says his whole family believed and were baptized. God worked it out for good. You don't ever know what God's doing. God's orchestrating this thing. And because of the Scriptures, I can do that. Sometimes I've disobeyed the Lord. Turn back to the book of Psalms 119, if you don't mind, real quick. Psalm 119. And God has a plan for my life and your life. And sometimes I've disobeyed Him, you disobeyed Him, other people, we failed Him. And the Bible says, He says in the New Testament, that He chastens His children. There's no condemnation of them than in Christ. But God does chasten us. No condemnation, but chastening. Chastening means it's child correcting. He corrects us. And He did it with Israel in famine. He did it with them in pestilence. And sometimes God sends some harsh realities in our life to get our attention. I've heard people say, "God will lay you on your back so you'll look up to Him." Well, David was no stranger to that. Listen to what David said. And David, more than any other writer in the Old Testament, gives thanks to God in everything. And he says in Psalm 119, verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word." Why did he say that? God had dealt with him. God had chastened him. God had done a work in his heart and life. And therefore, he could say in verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." You know what David learned? David learned that even the harsh chastening of the Lord and things that God uses to bring us closer to Him, we ought to thank God for. Thank God for sickness. Thank God for problems. Thank God for things, because it causes us to stop and pray. I guarantee you most of the people in this building and the media audience have prayed more in the last year than you've prayed in most of your Christian life. You've read the Bible more. You sought Him more. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, "It is a sweet storm that drives us to the arm of our Savior." It's a sweet storm that drives us to the arms of our Savior. And sometimes God sends things that cause us to get closer to Him. And I can praise Him because of what the Scripture has to say about it. What a blessing that is. You know, things happen in life we don't understand. I have some beautiful plants. I went by and saw Bobby and Lee, and she's got such beautiful plants out there. And they're just really beautiful. But you know, the truth of the matter is, it takes sunshine. Regina and I were talking about the beautiful sunshine on the way to the church. It takes sunshine for plants to grow, but it also takes cloud and rain. We want sunshine, but if it doesn't ever rain, you won't ever have a flower. If you don't go through some type of suffering, you won't ever come forth as gold. Job said, "When I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold." I want to thank God for all the problems. Thank God for the suffering. And thank God for all that goes on in my life, because I know that He's in that. Master painters their art sells for millions of dollars. They've learned the secret of light and shadow. You got to have contrast if it's going to be beautiful. And your life will never be beautiful unless you have light and shadows. That's what the Bible teaches. That's the principle of the Word of God. And you're going through things now, but God sends light and He sends shadow. He sends sunshine and He sends rain for your benefit. God's in control. But then I want to say this. I can trust Him not only because of the sovereignty of God and the sayings of the Scripture, because of the supremacy of faith. We learn to trust Him. I was thinking while I was praying over this message, how do you judge spirituality? How do you decide if somebody's spiritual or not? How do I decide if I'm where I ought to be with the Lord or not? Is it how much I do? Pharisees did a whole lot. They wouldn't even say most of them. Is it my busyness? And how do I do that? Do I measure it by my faith or my love? Probably to some degree. But as I've studied this subject of Thanksgiving all the way through, I've learned that where most of us fall far short, we're short in so many areas, but far short, is this idea of learning to be thankful for everything, for this is the will of God concerning of us. We don't understand it, and so we question it. We say it's all of the devil, and it's this, that, and the other, and so on. We fuss and complain about it, murmur about it. But the Bible teaches us that we ought to give thanks for it. Job has wonderful statements that are beyond my imagination. In one day, he lost his children, lost all of his livelihood, lost his health. And yet here's what he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And he said, I know this, I know that I will one day see him, his face. The skin worms will devour this flesh, but I'll see him, I'll stand in the last days and see him. Faith, our faith is real. And God blesses us with all that goes on. I was reading some this week and I learned a little bit about a type of Japanese art. It's called Kintsugi. And it dates way back to the 1400s. It seems that somebody had made a beautiful vase or something and sent it to the emperor. But en route, it was cracked. They sent it back to be repaired. And the standard way of repairing those type of vessels of pottery was to heat metal and put a metal in there. And they did that. They sent it back and he refused it. And they sent back again. And then they took that out and they filled the broken place with gold. And thus began the Chinese art form of Kintsugi. It is taking something that's broken and filling it with gold. And what was broken now becomes more valuable than it was in the original. And our lives were broken. We don't understand all the problems we've been through, all the stuff we've been, all the breaking of us. But we can understand this principle, that God's purpose is to fill all the broken places in our life with gold. And if we'll praise Him and magnify Him, that'll be the case. I can praise Him for everything because I know He's sovereign, because I know what the Scripture says, because I know by faith I can trust Him. He loved me. But I can praise Him also because I see the end. You go through all of this stuff, but when it's all said and done, Revelation 21, God will wipe away all tears. It'll all be gone. And thank God for that. I know in the end it's going to be all right. David in Psalms number 73 was bemoaning the fact that all those who were wicked lived a good life. They didn't have problems like everybody else. And then he said, until I understood their end. Their end's going to be different than our end. All those that you see now that live wickedly and they seem like they've got everything and they're so happy and they got more material things than you've got and you're just getting by. But the end of the story is not here yet. And you and I can rejoice and thank God because of the end of the story. Do you know everybody in this room that's saved is going to live in a mansion one of these days? Did you know that everybody in this room that's saved will live eternally in a place where there's only delight and joy and peace? You'll have a perfect body in that day. You think about it. I mean, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, your body's going to be changed. We'll be caught up together to meet our loved ones in the cloud, to meet the Lord in the air. And everything that's bothering you now will be gone forever. Every physical malady, every emotional problem, every grief, every heartache, every sorrow, every bitterness, everything, all that's going to be gone in a just like that. forever. That's coming. And I can rejoice and thank God now because I know it's going to come to pass very soon. I believe that with all my heart. Lastly, I'm through. I know He's sovereign. I know that what the sayings of the Scriptures are, and I know the supremacy of faith, that I can trust Him, and I know I see the end. It's going to be good. But with all of that said, there's something even a greater blessing to me. The Bible says that Christ humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue confess. And He goes on and says this, but we don't see everything under His feet right now. Looks to me like the devil's crowd's winning. Does to him, did to Paul, did to them. There were times they thought, you know, the Roman emperor had more power than God. It just seemed like it was that way. Christians were being slaughtered, everybody else. And here's what Paul said, listen, don't you look at what's going on around you right now. Look unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of your faith. And here's what he said, we don't see everything under His feet right now, but we see Him seated at the right hand of the Father. You ever wonder why when he went back home, God had him to sit on His right hand, just be seated? Was it because he was tired? No, he wasn't tired. Was it because the job he came to do was too big? No, it wasn't because the job was too big. Why did he come? He came and had him to sit down because of what he said on the cross. He said, it is finished. It's a done deal. I don't see everything under His feet right now. I don't see the finished work, but I see the finished workman. He's sitting there right now. He's not a bit worried about what's going on in the world. He's got everything well in hand, and I see Jesus. You look unto Jesus, and you can thank God for everything in your life. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Thank you so much for listening this morning. God, the Holy Ghost would have you to learn the will of God. And the will of God is this, that in everything you give thanks unto the Lord. How can I do that? Why could I do that? I know He's sovereign. I know regardless of what happens in my life or your life, I have to be reminded just like you do, but He's sovereign. He's in control. And I know what the Scripture says. The Scripture says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And therefore, I ought in everything give thanks. I might be going through that's not so good right now, but He's going to work it together for good eventually. Then, my dear friend, I know the supremacy of faith. You don't have to see everything. You can by faith believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, you can believe that He's in control. And you can be like Job and say this, I don't understand why all my children had to die. I don't understand why I've lost all my livelihood. I don't understand why I've lost my health. But I do know this, that though He slay me, I'm going to still trust Him. By faith, it may be that you measure your faithfulness or your spiritual growth by your thankfulness. I'm very thankful. Don't understand everything, but I know that He's in control and I know that He loves me. Then, my dear friend, we see the end. It's going to be a hard road. I don't know what's going to happen in America. You don't either. But I know how it's going to end up. God is on the throne, the finished workman. I see Him. What He said is going to come to pass. It's going to be real. Thank God for it. I wonder if you have been struggling and something's going on in your life right now and you cannot see any good in it. I wonder, have you took time just to say, Lord, thank you. I don't understand it. But God, what I'm going through right now, I know it has to be in your sovereign will and purpose. And that God, all things do work together for good to them that love the Lord. And God, this is going to turn out according to your will, for your glory, for my good. I want to thank you for it. I thank you for who you are. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, God, that I know that you're in control. I don't know what you need to do, but I want you during this Thanksgiving month and from now on to learn to live a life of thankfulness. Be grateful for your friends and your family and the people God puts in your life. Be eternally grateful for God the Father who loved us and gave His only begotten Son. And thank Him that everything you have comes from Him. And thank Him for Jesus. Thank Jesus for loving you and dying for you. I can praise him because I know he's sovereign. He's in control. I can be thankful for everything happening because of what I know the scriptures say, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. I can be thankful, my dear friend, because I know the supremacy of faith. And I can see the end of this thing, but more than the end of what's happening, I can see the Savior seated at the right hand of God in heaven. I see him finished. Everything's going right on time, right on schedule. He'll get all the glory and praise one of these days. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now will breathe on your people. God, I pray the truths that you spoke into my heart about will sink deep in their heart. I pray, our Father, to be something they can live, learn, practice, know the joy of thanksgiving. God bless. While we have our heads bowed for just a moment, Brother Brad's going to sing a verse or two of a song. If you would like to, Thanksgiving Day, of course, be on Thursday. But perhaps you're here this morning and you're a Christian. You might want to just take a moment to slip from where you are and come. Get around this old altar somewhere around the front benches. Just bow before him for a few minutes and thank him for everything. The good, the bad, that you understand, that you don't understand. And say, God, I don't understand, but God, I know it's all working together for your good. I want to thank you for it. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. Brother Brad's going to sing and we'll close in prayer in just a moment. But if you're not saved, I invite you to come trust Christ here or in the media audience. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Obey him now for the next few moments while Brad sings. Just do what God leads you to do.